What a gloomy day it was. Rain, drizzle, fog, thunder, lightning, the whole nine yards. And what a gloomy place that forest was. I couldn't wait to wrap this case up and get back to the old prairie country. That forest gave me the creeps. It didn't help at all that I had two cannibals behind me. I mean, they had their taste buds set on a cat's supper, but I didn't know how long that would last. Never turn your back on a cannibal. That's one of the basic rules we follow in the security business, and it's pretty good advice for anyone. You might want to jot that down. Never turn your back on a cannibal. Anyway, we went plunging through the gloomy forest. Madam Moonshine was in the lead, hopping along and sometimes flying a few feet at a time. That's the usual traveling pattern for your burrowing owls, don't you see? Only you very seldom see them outside of a prairie dog town. All at once, Madam Moonshine stopped and held up one wing. I stopped, and the brothers plowed into me. Well, excuse me.
Honk, get out of trail before Rip and Snort stomp mud hole in middle of back.
Shh. Madam Moonshine motioned for us to knock off the noise and to come up to the bush where she was standing. Rip and Snort bulled their way past me and stepped on two of my feet in the process, the louts. But because of who they were, I let it slide. We all peered through the bush. Down below was a kind of grotto. Is that the word? Grotto? A ghetto? A motto? It really burns me up when I can't think it. Down below was an outcropping of limestone, shall we say, that formed a ledge, kind of shallow cave-like whatchamacallit, on the south bank of Northup Creek. Little Alfred sat huddled at the back of the ghetto grotto motto, hugging his elbows for warmth and crying for his mommy. His hair was wet and plastered all over his head. He was looking as though he could sure use a friend. A couple of feet below the ledge sat Sinister the Bobcat, staring at the boy just the way Pete the Barn Cat might watch a mouse. It's kind of spooky the way those cats sit there without moving a hair, staring and staring and staring with their big cat eyes. And you never know what's going through their minds because they show no feeling or emotion. You know what they're gonna do, but you never know whether it'll be fast or slow. Have I mentioned that I don't like cats? I don't like cats, and that goes for the big mean ones just as much as for the rinky-dink variety that we have around headquarters. From somewhere to the left, up in a tree it seemed, came a voice.
But Pa, he's just a little boy.
Son, when you grow up, if you ever do, you'll find that this is a hard, old, tough world out here, and we take whatever we can get and don't ask no questions.
Yeah, but...
You can't serve two masters, Junior. No, you can't. You're either working for your stomach or you ain't a-working at all, so just hush up.
It was Wallace and Junior, as you might have already figured out. And as usual, they had arrived on the scene to serve as omens of misfortune. Sinister the Bobcat heard them arguing and gave them a cunning smile.
Go on, kitty,
said Wallace, leaning out on his branch.
Me and my boy here don't approve of what you're fixing to do. No, we don't, but still in yet.
He must have leaned too far out. He lost his balance and went crashing out of the tree. When he hit the ground, Sinister wheeled around and attacked him.
Yeah, get away from me, you dadgum cat. Junior, you get yourself down here, son. This cat ain't fooling. He's fixing to...
Fellers, that cat was something to see. Even as big as he was, he could move as quick as a... Well, as quick as a cat, you might say. He was a very efficient killing machine, and old man Wallace was lucky that he didn't become an omen of misfortune at his own funeral. He went squawking and flapping in a circle while Sinister threw up dirt with his paws and closed the gap between them. Up in the tree, Junior hopped up and down and covered his eyes with his wings.
Help! Murder!
At the last second, Wallace jumped into the air and caught an updraft and started flapping for altitude. Sinister coiled his legs under him and made a tremendous leap, snapped his jaws, and came down with a mouthful of buzzard feathers. Wallace made it back to his perch.
I ought to go back down there and thrash you good, you smart alecky cat. You're just lucky, Junior. It's shameful the way you neglect your poor old daddy who's worked and slaved and scrimped and saved. That frazzling cat could have ate me alive. I never seen such a ungrateful. I ought to have throwed up on that cat. You just come back over here, kitty, and I'll show you how much damage a buzzard can do.
Sinister glared up at the buzzards, flicked his ears, and spit out the feathers. Then he turned back to the ledge, blinked his big, cruel cat eyes one time, hunched down into a crouch, and began stalking towards little Alfred. It was time for action. I turned to my cannibal pals. Guys, there's your cat. If you think you can handle... They did, because they gave a hoop and ran right over the top of me. Didn't say, out of the way, dog, or excuse me, please, or nothing. Just, by George, knocked me down, plowed me under, and walked all over my face. And the wreck was on. Holy smokes, you should have seen it. Old Sinister had pretty much decided that he was hot stuff, don't you see? He being your typical sneering, arrogant, self-centered, self-important cat. Only four times as bad because he was four times as big. Yes, sir, he was pretty good at killing chickens and beating up buzzards and terrorizing pitiful little children. And let me tell you, fellers, he'd never seen the kind of tough that was heading in his direction. Rip and Snort just happened to be the best wrecking crew on the ranch. And Sinister knew it the minute he saw him coming. He sprang into the air, pinned his ears back, hissed, made teeth at him, and said, "Rear!" And then he sold out. I stood up and cheered him on. Kick him in the knee, slug him in the gut, punch him in the nose, boys, kick him in the... on the other knee. Sinister tore a hole through that forest and ran for his life. Rip and Snort tore an even bigger hole through the forest. And the last we saw of my coyote pals, they were about to shorten that bobcat's tail another 2 or 3 inches. I turned to Madam Moonshine. "Madam, you pulled it off. You're wonderful."
"Oh, bosh. I almost ruined it all by saying bat instead of cat. You were wonderful, Hank, not me."
"Me? Wonderful? Nah, it was you, madam."
She raised a wing and primped at the feathers on her head.
"Oh, well, let's not argue. If you insist that I'm a wonderful, witchy little owl, then so be it."
Just then, I heard little Alfred call my name.
"Madam, come on over to the ledge with me and let me introduce you to my pal Alfred."
"No, I must be going. I left Timothy alone in my cave."
"Who's Timothy?"
"Timothy, my companion and bodyguard. He's a rattlesnake. Surely you haven't forgotten Timothy."
"Oh, yeah, Big Tim, the diamondback. Boy, do I remember him."
"I left him unattended, and he has a very bad habit of getting into mischief. So, adieu."
I looked up at the gloomy sky.
"No, I'd call it a rain."
I noticed that she rolled her eyes.
"No, no, no. Not adieu. Adieu."
"Oh."
"Which means goodbye."
"Oh."
"So, without further adieu, goodbye."
"Goodbye, madam. And thanks for all you did. And I hope to see you somewhere down the road."
"You will. I know you will."
She hopped several times, then spread her wings and flew away into the forest. The rain was coming down hard now, and I headed for the cave to see my little pal,